Dr. Bernie Wilkinson.
I'm Dr. Richard Marshall.
And we are again for another terrific Tuesday, mm-hmm. December 6th, 2016.
Tuesday.
We only have like 25 more days left.
Today's
the 6th. So
24.
Yeah.
23. Wow.
There's 31 days.
But who's counting, Miss Cassie?
it's going quick, but today we're going to expand a little bit on what we talked about yesterday. I kind of went back and listened to some of the things we talked about yesterday, and our goal for today is to sort of, like I said, expand a little bit on it,
right.
Just to be a little bit more specific about when we introduce different forms of technology at different ages for our kids.
Mm-hmm.
Sound good to you?
Yes.
So I feel like my bow tie is all like messed up or something. All right, there we go. Don't. Okay. So it's got snowflakes on it.
I noticed that.
So
I didn't want to say anything, but okay.
So today we're going to, as we talk about technology as our children age, let's kind of start early and kind of work through the developmental stages.
Okay.
How does that sound?
Sounds good to me. So we begin at birth?
As we said yesterday, yeah.
Birth to
When a child is first born, mm-hmm. they don't watch TV.
Right.
So birth to about 24 months of age, you really should be limiting and probably restricting most television or screen time in general. And this is probably the age range in which we're asked the most often, you know, how old should my kid, should I be letting my 18-month-old watch TV? Should they be watching Sesame Street? Should they be watching this and doing that?
Right.
And, you know, I think you made a great point yesterday, because you said that different kids develop at different paces. And we know that that's the case. And so are there 18-month-olds who could benefit from some educational television viewing? Maybe, but they're probably relatively few. If you have an 18-month-old who is... my daughter, she was talking in complete sentences at 18 months old. She was, like, she had the mechanics down for reading. She was starting to recognize some words. I mean, it was... I don't know that I did anything for it. She just started... She was just precocious in that way. But to say that she was ready to disengage, and we're going to use that word several times today, to say that she was prepared to disengage from real life humans to enter into a world of technology, I just don't think that she was prepared for that.
Right. And I think we have to, I think birth to two, again, as we said yesterday, is a simple call.
Right.
You probably shouldn't have any technology
right.
With that age. There just isn't any advantage to introducing your children to technology prior to age two.
Right.
I mean, there's no developmental advantage. There's no intellectual, no cognitive, no language advantage in introducing your right. children to technology before age two.
Right.
That's the first rule of thumb.
Right.
The second rule of thumb is you should be doing other things with your children in those first two very, very crucial years.
Yeah. I mean, the research is pretty clear that... You know, a lot of the things that we say were beneficial, or, you know, a lot of the things that are that proclaim to be beneficial to kids early in life,
mm-hmm.
it's not really... I've been thinking about it yesterday, because I mentioned Baby Mozart yesterday.
Right.
And I've been thinking about it since then. It's not that the audio is different than video. You know, to take your,
that's right.
you know, 8, 9, 10-month-old and sit them in front of a TV in a bouncer so that they are mm-hmm. sort of trapped there and they're watching. To say that they're benefiting from the screen time mm-hmm. is very, very different than saying that they may benefit from the audio, from the relaxing music. I mean, we know that, like, one of the things that makes Brahms music so... relaxing. It has to do with the tempo. It has to do with, we know that it puts your brain in different rhythms at a different mm-hmm. pace. So to say that, you know, having some of this audio on, I think that could be good for your child.
Depending on the audio.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But to put them in front of a TV or in front of an iPad is probably not as beneficial as we think it might be. It may oftentimes just be the audio or the music that's playing,
right?
That they're really engaged with.
Right. We have to remember that what is going on in a baby's brain from birth to two.
Right.
First of all, from birth to one, most of their time is spent sleeping,
right?
Up to 20 hours a day.
Right.
Okay? There's a reason why babies up to age 15 or 18 months sleep so much.
Right.
They need to sleep. Where the brain development from birth to two, the babies need to sleep long hours. And it's a quiet, restful, peaceful sleep because the brain is trying to organize itself. Well, if you're constantly stimulating that brain, you're sending the child in a very different direction than the child's brain should be going in those years.
Right.
So that's why most professionals, the Academy of Pediatrics, the American Psychological Association, encourage very, very limited or no use of technology, especially visual technology.
Right.
I mean, there's a reason why babies startle with loud noises.
Right.
It's too much stimulation. It's the same with screen time. The TV is too much stimulation for that for the infant brain.
Right.
So birth to two, probably the less the better would be a good rule of thumb, especially, as you say, visual.
Right, okay. Right. It's just too stimulating, and their visual acuity isn't that great at that time anyways.
That's right.
And so
that's right.
So let's restrict there. So birth to two, very limited screen time, if any.
If any, right.
I would definitely encourage soothing sounds, soothing music, and those kinds of that kind of exposure. But other stuff is probably a little bit too much.
Because there's so little, there are so few hours of child-parent interaction time anyway during those years, especially in the first year of life, that you want to maximize that time for bonding and attachment.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. And that means direct interaction, verbal, visual interaction.
Exactly. And as we think about this, it should make sense, too, that during those first 2 years, that's when the child is in the sensory motor phase of cognitive development. And so we want them engaging in things physically, and we want them engaging. Right. We want them to touch and hold and carry and throw and drop and pick up things, so that's how they're building those skills in their brain.
And we want them to be moving against gravity.
Right.
We want them to be pulling themselves up onto furniture and crawling and taking those first steps. They're not going to do that if they're watching a very compelling screen.
Right.
So we want them to be doing other things. So limit the screen time because you're going to be giving up other important things that they should be developing.
Right. Now by age two, what we also know from development is that by age two, most kids are walking, if not running. Most kids are probably running by then, too.
They're running.
They are climbing. They are very physically engaged in things. But they're also starting to communicate a little bit more. And this is our first experience as parents where kids begin to separate from us.
That's right.
Now, we don't necessarily want them to be completely separated from us, of course, but this is where they start to separate from us. And so now they're going to start to have their own interest and their own things that they're doing. You know, birth to two, everything that the child does, for the most part, the parent is doing with them.
Right.
Now we're going to be shifting that so that the child is doing some things on his or her own. This is what happens during the preschool years. That's why we get, no, it's mine. And they say, I'll do it. You know, they're trying to gain some independence.
That's why we get no.
Right, right. Absolutely.
Right.
So during this stage, we are going to get some more separation between the parent and the child.
Right.
And so the introduction of some technology or technological software is going to be acceptable here. Again, not, you know, gung-ho with everything, you know, just throwing them to where they're in front of a screen 20 hours a day, but, you know, having them engaged in a game or in a television program when you're not able to be engaged with them is perfectly acceptable.
Yeah, there are two huge differences here beginning at about age two or two and a half. One is that they will begin to engage with technology independent of you.
Right.
Okay, prior to this, it took you to be there. Now, they're going to be beginning that journey to independent use of technology. There's a second thing that occurs, though, at about age two and a half, and that is we have this explosion of new neurons called blossoming. So, so one of the things we want to do is we want to guide and shape what our children do, because those are the new neurons that they're going to use when they go to school.
Right.
Those are the neurons that they're going to use for reading and math and learning how to function in the larger social setting of a school. So we want to take this time from 2 to 5 to allow children to develop all of their abilities. So one of the important guidelines in the 2 to 5 range is make sure you limit their use. As convenient as it is to have children engaged, mm-hmm. so they're not
right.
a bother, I hesitate to use the word, yeah. so they're not a bother to us, we have to remember that there are many, many important things, that many important skills, cognitive, language, motor, social interaction skills that children should be developing in these years. So we want to limit their technology use probably to about an hour, maybe 2 hours a day.
Yeah, okay? If that, yeah.
So the important challenge for parents of children ages 2 to 5 is how do you start limiting technology use? Because these are the years where it's going to first become very compelling right. for kids to play these very exciting games.
Right.
So how do we set up zone media free zones or technology free zones and technology free times? And I think you have to start building that into your family routines, is that no, we don't use these things at the table, and we don't use these things in the bedroom. Mm-hmm. So this is a time of setting some very clear boundaries and some very clear family rules about when we right. use it and how we use technology.
Absolutely, because once they get into elementary school,
yeah.
Once they're 5 or 6 and up to about middle school or so,
right.
during that stage, we're going to see, again, we kind of talked about this yesterday, but this explosion of interest in different types of games, different types of programming. I mean, mm-hmm. we have, it's interesting because most of these movies, for example, are PG-13, but yet mm-hmm. most 8-year-olds have seen The Avengers.
Sure.
You know, mm-hmm. so we have... Our kids are exposed to some of these things, and for whatever reason, for lots of reasons, some of these programs are rated at a level higher than their developmental stage.
Right.
But the pressure is on the parent to make sure to expose the kid to this. You know, your kid is going to be on you. I want to see The Avengers. I want to see this. I want to play this game. I want to do this. I want to play Call of Duty. Well, you're only 8 years old. Eight. Well, you know, it's a rated M, I think.
M or MA.
So how does a parent handle that? Mm-hmm. Some parents allow their kids to play those games because they say, well, you know, it's just video for violence.
Sure. Right.
There's no really bad language with that game, or there's no sexual content or anything mm-hmm. like that with the game. So, you know, watching it or playing that game is going to be okay. And that may be fine for if in your family that is something that you feel like you can handle, that's great. But there has to be a discussion with your child about how much time is spent on it, and what some of that content means. And this may be a time where the parent works to re-engage a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So we can play that game, but let's play 2-player, and I'll play with you. Instead of just letting your child go, you know, you wouldn't drop them off at the movie by themselves at right. 8 years old. Right. So don't let them play some of these games by themselves without your supervision and making sure that everything is okay.
That's right. Because once they go to school, we're talking about
mm-hmm.
entry school
age. Mm-hmm.
Once they go to school, now they're going to be hearing about these games.
Right.
Their friends, some of their friends are going to have iPhones
right.
in elementary school. And you're going to hear, they're going to come home wanting to play these games
mm-hmm.
because that's where they're going to hear about them. It's like anything else. Once they go to school, they get exposed to a larger
right.
world. So they're going to come home asking for these things. You have to decide about your child
right.
and your home, your culture,
right.
In your family, your family's culture,
right.
and how you're going to deal with these things. Other kids might do it. Your kids may not be ready, or you may feel that they're not ready to do it.
Yeah.
That's a family decision that you right. have to make.
Right.
Because certainly the pressure is going to begin. The door is going to open a little wider once they get to elementary school.
Yeah. And again, I think the point that you made earlier it still holds true, and that is, if you're playing it, they're going to want to play it.
Right.
If you're watching it, they're going to want to watch it. And so you need to gauge and have a plan in the very mm-hmm. least on how you're going to handle that.
Right.
So so again, in school age, elementary school primarily, we're not yet talking about social media. We're right. not yet talking about free reign on the internet. We're talking about some, you know, videos and movies and television programs mm-hmm. and video games and handheld device games that you have to figure out as a family what you want your child to be able to do. Mm-hmm. That may mean that you need to explore it first. You need to play it first. You need to watch the movie first. You need to watch the right. television program first. Decide what is okay and what's not okay.
Right.
There are some really funny movies that I remember thinking, man, my son would love this. He would think it's so funny. But the movies had inappropriate things in it. And so one of the strategies that I used was I waited until it came on television. Mm-hmm. So then they it's edited censor. For TV.
Right.
And so now, are there still some inappropriate things in there? Absolutely.
Yeah.
But it's not that much different than what you get on many other television programs anyways. Mm-hmm. And so it's a little bit, you know, that's a way to be able to work around some of those limitations.
Right. And when we talk about individual differences, there would be no need for an elementary school student to have an iPhone.
Right.
Connected to the internet, have a smartphone. However, if you have a child of divorce
mm-hmm.
who yeah. is moving around, you know, going here and going there and being picked up by different people at different times, that child may need some kind
like
of a
flip
device.
Phone or something.
Start with a flip phone. Okay. Yeah. You don't have to move to an iPhone. You start with a flip phone because all that child has to do is to be able to call you.
Right.
Okay. And so you introduce it slowly. Most kids don't even need a flip phone.
Right.
Schools have phones. We still mm-hmm. have landlines in buildings like schools and churches. Mm-hmm. And so most children don't need a phone. Those who do can start with a very simple flip phone that has, mm-hmm. again, it's a tool.
Right.
Okay. It's not entertainment. It's a tool.
Right.
They're not ready for the entertainment side of smartphones, but they may benefit from having access to a little flip phone.
Right.
Okay. So again, it depends on your family situation, and what your children need, what kind of devices they really, really need. Not
right.
what they want, but what they need.
Right. Now, again, kind of started this a little bit yesterday, but middle school brings social media. Yeah. Middle school brings the need, I use the word need intentionally there.
Right.
But middle school brings the need for social media. When we were growing up, we talked on the telephone. When we were growing up, we met our friends here and there. But when we were growing up, most of our friends went to the same school that we went to. They went to the same, they lived in the same neighborhood. So we were mm-hmm. able to engage them directly much more
That's
easily.
Right.
Today, that is not the case.
Right.
Most kids interact through social media. Of all kinds, and there's new social media coming out all the time. So, you know, whether it's Instagram, Snapchat, Facebook, Twitter, mm-hmm. All of these different programs, software that is used for social media is important. It is an important instrument for social relevance
right.
and social interactions between your child and his or her peers. So social media is going to happen. Now, as parents, we have some responsibilities that we have to manage, because your 9-year-old should not have a Snapchat. Your 10-year-old shouldn't have a Facebook page. But as they get to be 12, 13 years old, you're starting to get into a stage where they're going to need that to be able to have the interactions with their friends that they need to have to be socially relevant, to be socially engaged in a way that's going to help them with their development.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to happen. Don't go into it fighting a battle that you're not going to win.
You're not going to win the battle.
No, that doesn't mean that you won't prevent them from getting it. You may right. prevent them from getting it, but there will be ramifications. There will be consequences for your child of that. Because then your child is going to be separated. Your child is not going to be as engaged as he or she needs to be to develop healthy social relationships. He's not going to be invited for get-togethers. He's not, because that's how all of those things happen. All of those things happen through social media.
There was I was reading, one of the books I read about social media was about a girl who bought a she wanted her first smartphone. Mm-hmm. And so they decided to get an Android.
Mm-hmm.
And only to find out that most of her friends had iPhones.
Yeah.
So she kept missing out on parties and get-togethers. And so even with the wrong smartphone, you can get left out. If you don't have a smartphone, you're going to get left out.
Yeah.
As a parent, you're far better. By high school, everyone's going to have one.
Right.
Okay. So middle school is one of those transition times.
Right.
And we would encourage parents to introduce these phones slowly in a developmentally appropriate way. Maybe they start with a smartphone that has limited access. You have to limit what apps they can use.
Right.
You have to have their passwords.
Mm-hmm.
You
should have the same kind of accounts they have. So if they have a Snapchat, you should have a Snapchat. And you should be, one of the expectations is that we're connected. Same thing with Twitter and Facebook and all those other things.
One of the great surprises to me, because I'm an immigrant to this world, was when I first went on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw all the stuff that my kids were doing that I had no idea was going on. But it was a wake-up call to me because, I need to stay up with this stuff.
Right.
And then I was summarily teased by colleagues because I had never seen it before.
That's true.
And they thought it was great fun that this is the first time I had ever been on Instagram.
It was fantastic.
Was it?
I'm sure that your colleagues, whoever they may be, had a great time with that.
They did. But you have to keep up.
Yeah,
you have to keep up with your children. You have to know what they're doing, and you have to be a part of their my goodness, you're part of their dating, or you should be part of their dating life. You're part of the rest of their world. You're part of their athletic life or their social life. You need to be part of their digital world.
Right. Yeah. So don't fight that battle. By the time they're in high school, they're going to be fully integrated and plugged into the world. Now, we're going to talk one day later this week. We're going to talk about how to unplug. We're going to talk about sort of setting some of those limits. But we need to accept the fact that these things are going to happen, that they're going to need to be engaged, and that they're going to need to be able to interact with their peers in this way.
That's right. Because most schools, again, we talked about this yesterday, most schools are going to assume that your children have access either through a smartphone or a computer. They have access. From middle school on, schools are going to assume that your children, from elementary school on, they're going to assume that you have access, that every child has access to the internet.
Right. Yeah. So don't fight it. It's going to happen, but just be prepared and have a plan. Have a set of expectations. Like you said earlier, you start this early on where you say, okay, this is when we can use technology. This is when we don't use technology. And that sets the stage very well for later on. So,
right. Yesterday we talked about the American Academy of Pediatrics guidelines. They have on their website, they have a wonderful little thing called the Family Media Use Plan.
Mm-hmm.
And you can actually, it will help you design the plan for your family.
Yeah.
Okay. Because every family is a little bit different.
Yeah. So those things work very well. And I'll put a link to that in the show notes as well. Yeah. So you can get to that right away. So, all right. Hopefully that helps just kind of give you a framework in your mind about some of the developmental importance of technology.
Mm-hmm.
And, we're gonna kind of, again, dive into some of this in a little bit more detail throughout the week, which is going to be a fun discussion because
I'm glad we're having
that. It's such an important topic that a lot of people ask about. So,
we'll talk about it later in the week.
I'll leave it.
Okay.
All right. So that's it for today. You guys have a great rest of your Tuesday, and we will be back tomorrow morning for another episode, another show.
Good.
All right.
Have a good day.
Bye-bye.